Hello and welcome to Board Gamer, and in this episode we are going to be considering games that deserve a comeback. So I'm here again with Matt, our developer, and Tim, our graphics, brand, marketing,
everything
man. Everything goes everything. Through Tim. Without Tim, where would we be? He's the rock for us. So in today's episode, I really wanted to talk about this. I wanted to talk about not only games that I feel are really great games, but they just don't get enough traction and enough commentary, enough talking about. And you're thinking, why does no one talk about this game? This game is awesome. But on the flip side, I also want to then consider a game that each of us thinks probably gets too much attention. It's not that it's a bad game. It's just, does it really deserve as much attention as it's getting? Probably sometimes, you know, we're not going to touch too much into marketing, and I don't want to get on the bad side of any, you know, publishers, but no. Sometimes that can be the case.
Yeah.
I know that is. So each of us has picked one choice each, one pro, one con, and then we're going to take it in turns to discuss it, reveal what our choice is, and then we'll all give comments on how we feel about that and our reasons why. So I thought it would be probably nice for Matt to go first, if you feel comfortable with that.
Yes, sure.
And then we'll go Tim, and then we'll come with me, and then we'll go like that each time, so you know when you're going to be coming up.
Brilliant.
Cool.
And then we've got a special question for you at the end of the podcast, so stay tuned for that. So to begin with, Matt, what would you say has been your pro choice of a game that deserves more attention than it really gets?
Okay. I had a few options on this one. I've gone with a game that you actually introduced to me. I haven't seen many people talk about it. It's a beloved IP, and it's Red Rising.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
I went for this one. I'll explain why. I didn't know about the IP. I'm quite a big reader myself, and I'd heard of the books before. And when we came to play the game, I thought that, for starters, the design is really appealing. The cards look beautiful. I know you do have the, is it the deluxe
edition? It's a collector's edition.
Yeah. I can't compare it to the base game, but I thought it was such a good mechanics. It was easy to learn, but there was a lot of strategy, which I really liked. And as I was going along, I was like, wait a minute, that a card that I thought wasn't that valuable. Turned out, I was like, wait, I can play my whole strategy behind this one card. Yeah. And it kind of combo builds, and yeah, I thought it was really fun. I thought it was a good game.
Is that stone there?
Yeah.
Nice.
Do you know what's really interesting? I've played that game three times now. Once with you, once with Tim, which was our first play.
I haven't played it.
If you're not, I thought it was with you and a group. Maybe it was a few others. And then I played it again recently with Sam, Emma, and Nathan. And it was their first play. And what's been really interesting about that game is seeing it either really works or really doesn't. Depending, you know, we spoke in the past about, like, depending on the audience. Because it's, like you say, it's a simple mechanic, but with a lot of strategy. Interestingly, it's very easy to see people get so overwhelmed because there's like about 120 or something different cards in it, all unique. And there's a lot of writing on endgame scoring on each one and how all them combo with each other. So it's very interesting that people quickly get burnt out, but when we played it, just the two of us, we just had a bit of time to not get burnt out, and we saw it's a really good game.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I hadn't really heard anyone talk about it before. I don't know in terms of like where people put in their overall rankings, but I don't think I've ever seen it in anyone's like top 10 or anything. And out of the Stonemaier game, it was Stonemaier, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I think it's probably the one that's least advertised. Like, everyone knows the classics. And I thought it offered some great, easy-to-learn strategy, which is what half the time I'm looking for in games. So, yeah, I really enjoyed Red Rising.
I've got so many thoughts on that, but I don't want to make this a whole Red Rising episode.
That's episode 5, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to mention just an honourable one. It's been that long since I played it that this was my initial choice. It was Babylonia, a Rainer Knizia game that I don't think gets enough attention. And yeah, I think I'm going to try and cover that soon because it's such a good game. and I just haven't played it enough to give an honest opinion of what I think of it. So next time, yeah, I'll be mentioning that.
That's pretty cool, though. I look forward to that. Thanks for that, Matt.
No worries.
So on to Tim. What would you say is your pro, a game that you don't think gets enough attention?
For me, it was a game called Clans of Caledonia. It was interesting. I went to Aircon in Harrogate last year, and I went with my mate Aaron. He saw it in the Bring and Buy. I think he'd seen something about it before, but we kind of got it on a bit of a whim. It was funny, actually. We picked it up and we were talking about it, and some woman came behind us and said, "Oh, that's a great game." And I don't know if she actually owned the game and wanted to sell it to us or, but we were just like, well, Sara told us it was a great game, so we may as well, not his wife Sara, this was another Sara, we may as well buy it, sort of thing. So yeah, he got it, brought it home, and it's just a very cool, tight strategy game. And it's a little bit like Gaia. It's got that sort of tightness to it where you really have to think about what you're going to do and how you're going to spend your money, because it's not easy to get cash. But yeah, great game. I absolutely got behind it. It's got a slight asymmetric sort of feel to it. You play clans in Scotland and you're farming, basically, and you're producing things like bread and whiskey. And what's better than producing whiskey in a game? But yeah, I don't see it promoted enough. Mm. And actually, just very recently, I've been watching quite a few of these YouTube videos of like these like rewinds of 2023 or like sort of best of 2023. And it led me to a video from, I think it's the Murph Brothers on YouTube. And they take the top 100 BGG games and they reorder it how they like it. And it's quite clever. And I think Clans of Caledonia ended up in the top five. Mm. I think one of them put it as second. And I thought, oh, that's the first time I've seen someone else hype it up as much as I think it should be hyped.
Mm. It's interesting, you know, because I haven't played it. Aaron talks about that game so much. I remember once I was around at Aaron's and he was so enthusiastic about wanting to show it me. He was like, "We're not going to play it," but he literally got it out and set it up. I was like, "He's setting it up." And he's like, "Yeah, I'll teach you." And I was like, he was starting to teach me. I'm thinking, "You set it up and you're teaching me, but you're saying we're not going to play it?" I was brilliant. Okay. I was like, all right. But he was that enthusiastic. So it must
he's
be
pretty
a
cool.
Game.
You get like little wooden sheep and cows, little beer, whiskey barrels, not beer barrels. And I found my clan. I'll come to this later. I talk about asymmetric games. I find something I love and I play that every time. And for me, there's this one that really helps with that. They get more money for whiskey. So I'm always that clan. Always producing whiskey in it. But it's just a really, really cool game. Love it.
Oh, nice, man. Well, I do need to give it a go because I'm a big fan of Gaia. I love all of that. I love all of those sorts of tight games. So I've heard it's quite similar, so I would like to give it a go. So thanks for that, Tim.
What, just out of interest, what are the main mechanics?
There's a big map of like Scotland with the locks and everything. And you're farming basically, so it's worker placement, but it's kind of economy building as well because you're trying to get cash. The main actual way to get points is a thing called exporting contracts.
Okay.
So you have to take these contracts and you have to produce certain goods to fulfill a contract. It might be you need to produce like 2 whiskey and some bread or something, and that will fulfill it and you get points. It's got this cool little scoring track with it where there's 3 types of exported goods. I'm trying to think what they are on the top of my head. It's cotton, tobacco and sugar, the 3. When you fulfill a contract, that moves these goods around. But the person who's the least, got the least amount, that scores the highest. And it's like a bit of a multiplier sort of thing. And then the one that's exported the most, that's not as valuable. So that doesn't get as much points. And then you look at what you've got contract-wise, times it by what's there. And yeah, it becomes a big score at the end. So, yes, quite a few little different things you have to think about.
Nice. Sounds good.
Yeah, really cool.
I'll have to give it a go.
You definitely have to give it a go. Nice. Yeah, it's really good.
Cool. So, moving on to me, the pro I wanted to pick in this was Race for the Galaxy, which I know perhaps because it came out in 2007, I know a lot of people that perhaps played it in the past hype about it a lot. But nowadays, I don't think people hear about it. I played it quite a few times the other day. It just was one where I was thinking, my life, this is such a good game. And even if it used to be popular, no one talks about it anymore. Mm. And I'm thinking, this game is legit. It's so good. It's got action selection in it. I don't know if you've played it.
But everyone has the same like action cards. And you basically all decide which action card you're going to play down. And then you do them in action. Like there's action 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, just like Twilight Imperium, you do them in order. But if you selected it, just like Twilight Imperium, you get a bonus. But they're such little things. So it's a very fast game. But essentially the game works where either all of the token point chips are gone, or someone has, I think it's 15 cards, or might be wrong there. No, it's 12 cards, so two rows of six. So it's kind of really interesting, but there's so many cards that you like literally, and they have combos with each other, that you're thinking, oh, should I build up this civilization? Should I build up a military strength? And it's not about military just against the other people. It's just there's loads of different requirements to play more cards.
Yeah.
But their cards are worth points, and then they can also produce things that can give you points. So I just know I know a game's good when I'm playing a game, and before I've even finished playing it, I'm thinking, man, I want to play this again.
Nice. Because I can't wait to try something different next time. Essentially, I think the heart of what I would say with Race for the Galaxy is the artwork is okay. It's not bad because this is a revised second edition, but it's not like modern standards, you know. Modern expectations for artwork is so high now, especially for space themes. They could do with a third edition and a massive marketing boost, and people would be like, whoa, what is this game? Like, but actually then people would have to go, no, it came out ages ago. But I reckon if they did, you'd see a boom because it's just such a good game.
Didn't they revise it with Roll for the Galaxy? Yeah. Or is that a different
game? It's the same theme, but in a roll, rolling dice game instead.
So that was my pro, really, Race for the Galaxy.
Nice.
So I really want to make you two play it.
I've seen it. And do you know what? There's these classic games that I feel like as board gamers we should be playing. And I agree that when you're saying this, I'm thinking about like Puerto Rico being action selection. Great game. And it's such an old game, but it's such a good game still today, and it, you know, passes the test of time type thing.
Well, they did revise it, but we won't talk about that.
Yeah. But in terms of like the game itself, I mean, I've got the newer version and it's not really that any different other than artwork more than anything. Still a little bit ugly. I don't know why they can't get it right, but but yeah, they I just totally agree. I think some of these older games should be hyped a little bit more. But it's been a game on my list to play, actually.
Because it does sometimes feel like there's such a chase to buy the newest game, when actually, sure, these older games are out of print, so you have to buy an old copy. But even if they just revised and did third edition, with a big marketing boost, a whole new wave of board gamers who haven't played the old one would pick it up and go, whoa, this is a crazy good game.
Yeah.
And then it would take the older guys to go, yeah, that came out ages ago. But to be fair, it wouldn't be a bad thing. So that's a game that deserves a comeback. Nice.
Yeah. I think, well, that does happen because what we talked about last week with the Thunder Road Vendetta, that's a game from the 80s that they've just refreshed. But yeah, I think it can work both ways, because what I've noticed that's happened recently is a lot of these Kickstarter games, they have a lot of hype, then they die down immediately after release. But at the heart, there's still some good games there that get neglected. So I think it can work both ways. Like, as you said, like there's games from the past that probably deserve a little bit of love, but the same thing can happen with new games.
Yeah, definitely.
So true. So that was my pro on a game that deserves a comeback. But now we're going to flip it and go on to our cons of a game that we feel gets perhaps a lot of hype. We hear it talked about a lot. Perhaps everyone's played it and everyone's bought it because everyone hears about it. It's on the top lists of everything. But actually, when you give it a game and you give it a play, it's not bad. It's just not perhaps deserving of that much attention. So that's what we're going to go on to next. So we're starting with Matt. Matt, what would you say is a game that deserves less of a comeback or maybe less attention?
All right, I didn't know how to do this one because there's quite a few. I found this category a lot easier than the other one. And I don't think it's because any of these games are inherently bad games. I think it's maybe it's to do with marketing and stuff. I'm not too sure. But the game that I'm putting on this list is Carcassonne.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't even think Carcassonne is a bad game. It's actually this going back a lot. I think it was the second board game, probably like a more, like we've got the classics like Monopoly, etc. But in terms of more modern board games, I think it was the second one I played. And I actually own it because some of my family like it and stuff. So I can see what the appeal is. It's just always on these, often I see on these lists for top 10 gateway games, it's always one of the ones that's on there. And I think there's so many better games that you can introduce to people that have got more modern ideas. They show more mechanics that are a lot easier. Not a lot easier, that are just as easy. And yeah, I just don't think it quite deserves the hype that, I guess maybe it's, as we were talking about, these classic ones, some of them stay around for a longer time, such as Catan and ones like that. But yeah, in terms of Carcassonne, I don't think it deserves the recognition that it gets sometimes.
I agree. I actually really didn't like it the first time I played it. I didn't like it. I thought it was just a very average game for a hyped game.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. I actually played it not that long ago because we introduced some new gamers into a few games, and that was one of them that came out. And I thought, okay, I'm going to give it another go, and I had a terrible time. And the reason was, I don't like games where that are like really unforgiving. And what I mean by that is, I built a part city, and I needed a city specific tile to finish it off.
Yeah.
And I just kept pulling road tiles, and there was nothing I could do to change that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that frustrated the hell out of me. And I didn't get a great score at all. And I just messed the game up. And it was just a bit like, yeah, I don't enjoy this. It just doesn't feel right for me. One thing I will caveat that with, I recently saw, I think someone put a post up on Facebook or something, and they had got all the expansions.
Yes.
They built their table. And actually, that looked quite cool.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I thought, actually, I'd probably enjoy it because you're more likely to get a lot more tiles out that you want.
Yeah, I will say I've seen this and the expansions do look really good. But is the expansions going to make it a 7 or 8 out of 10?
And
you're spending probably nearly £200 on it.
On them all, yeah.
Just for a version of Carcassonne that's enjoyable. And don't get me wrong, I think that could be good. And maybe that's more of the gamers inside of us where that's what appeals. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Jay?
I have played that game. I think most board gamers have played that game at some point. it was okay. It's probably my experience. If you know me, I pretty much don't really like tile placement games that much anyway.
Okay.
With the exception of Subterra, because that's an awesome game.
Yeah.
But I do get you with that, and I will make sure that any of our writers for our articles don't put Carcassonne in our top 10 gateway game articles.
I'll just preface that in the future.
I do get you. I think it's not a bad game as a gateway game.
Yeah.
I get why it's used, but I sometimes feel like you go from article to article hoping to get more choices.
Yeah.
And if you go from article to article and they're all saying the same things, sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's a bit tiring.
Yeah.
So, and it's an old game and there's a lot better gateway games out there now. And I feel like, or not necessarily better, but just more interesting.
Isle of Skye. Have you played that?
No, I want to, yeah.
Yes.
Which one's that? Alexander Pfister?
Yeah.
I do want to play that.
Let me double check.
I think it is.
I think that is a better version of Carcassonne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll have to give that a go.
Yeah.
I will just add as well, the friend I was just talking about who has the game, he's got some of the other ones, and he's got the South Seas one, and I found that a lot more enjoyable than Carcassonne. So I do think there's some that could make the game more enjoyable, but I totally agree with you. I think it is slightly overhyped.
Yeah, the... On the base game, the initial playthrough, you just have the, I can't remember all the different, what they're called, the monks, the knights, etc.
Yeah.
Where I think They try to avoid you getting to use the farmer ones.
Okay.
And I actually think the farmer ones do add a little bit more. So if you played the base game without the farmer one, maybe give that a try and see if that improves it. But yeah, overall, I think there's better games to that fit that tile placement category.
Mm.
Definitely.
So moving on to our next one. Tim, what would you say is your con of a game that gets probably more attention than it deserves?
I did have a couple for this. I won't go into it too much. But very quickly, Ark Nova was one for me. I like Ark Nova.
I'm done.
I like Ark Nova. Don't get me wrong. I like the game. I didn't think it was this amazing game that everyone made out to be. I don't think it should have been the sort of top 10 game that everyone claimed it was. It was a good game. That was it at best. Do you know, like, the way it rushed to, like, this massive, big ordeal of a game? I just felt like it wasn't amazing. I didn't think it was an amazing game. I just thought it was a good game. I just thought it was overhyped. That's what I think. I thought it was rushed. And I feel like I've seen people selling the game quite quickly, like, afterwards. The price of it went down because everyone had it. And I think people found it hard to sell in the end because everyone had played it and then didn't want to buy it.
I do understand you in a way. I do remember it being like this big thing. Like every YouTube reviewer, every content creator seemed to be talking about Ark Nova for a while. And it did build up the game. Now, I really like Ark Nova. I don't know if I liked it on my first play, but then I did want to play it again. And I'm glad I did because now I really like it. And I'm a big fan of Ark Nova.
That's probably what it is. We played it maybe 2-3 times. The first time I got a negative score. The second time I got a negative score, but it was really close. And the third time I was adamant I was going to get a positive score and I finally did it. And I was like, I don't want to play this game again. Well, for a while.
Do you know what? I love that about it. Like, I think my favorite thing is like Ark Nova breaks people that are like annoyingly competitive because they can spend 2 hours grinding through it and then they're out with -2. And I'm like, yes. And I just love like there's some sort of like, I don't know, masochistic element to it. That's like, yeah, I've worked half of 2 hours and I got -17. And I'm like, I love that. But I also think it probably resold a lot because if something's hyped up a lot, everyone's going to buy it. But it's a heavy game, which doesn't suit everyone.
And I think that was an issue, Yeah, I think that was an issue.
It looks like this nice, friendly, animal-friendly game. Yeah. But actually, that's just the theme.
Yeah,
but
there's a lot to it.
It's a super heavy game.
Yeah, definitely. My second one, I just want to touch on, and I don't actually think it's overhyped. I think it's just overhyped by my friends, is Gaia Project.
Oh man,
I can't cope with this episode, man. I don't know if I can cope with this episode.
I had to say this. I don't know why, it just doesn't resonate with me as well.
Tim, I don't think we could let you wear that hoodie anymore.
It just didn't resonate with me. I felt I get the whole thing. I like asymmetric games, but I think some games can be asymmetric for the sake of it, and having all of those factions was a bit maybe over the top for a heavy game. Now, saying that, I do only play Space Wookiees. So I will caveat that that's probably why I don't always have the best game, because I don't play to the board. I just pick Space Wookiees. Don't even know what they're called, but I'm calling them Space Wookiees.
The Itars.
I found it super tight and frustrating every time I play it. And I feel like I do 5 turns just to get a QIC. And then I spend it and I'm like, and it wasn't even a fulfilling move. It was just a really basic move. And I feel like sometimes I'm gearing up for it. And I've got to the fourth turn. I'm thinking, right, I'm just so close to buying it. And then someone does a thing and blocks me. And I'm like, that was my whole strategy. This sort of round is to get that so I can do this move. And I've just been blocked. And I find it just very unforgiving. I'm not a massive tight gamer player sort of thing. I don't like things with, I like things that have a bit of forgiveness, allows me to do things I want to do. Now, saying this, funny enough, I said Clans of Caledonia before. I've actually seen a few comments before where people have said, I don't like Gaia Project, and people have recommended Clans of Caledonia. And I find it funny that I read that after I played Clans and was like, well, actually, I really enjoy this game for some reason more, even though that's a tight game. So I just think, for me personally, just I don't dislike the game. Mm. I'm not saying I don't like the game. It just doesn't resonate with me as much as... And I think everyone else in my friend group just loves the game. And they could play it nearly every day if they could, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
I mean, the thing that I find difficult is I've probably got at least 80 players of that game or more. So the problems you're saying, like, that is unfortunately for my brain a game that I absolutely know inside and out.
Mm.
And I know every faction inside and out. I've taught it to probably at least 10 different heavy gamers now, which has been an experience in itself. But the problems you're describing, I get them. There is a way to overcome them, but the way to overcome them is to get better at the game. Which is a pain in a way. Because when you get
I don't kind of agree, because I still think people can block you and then you can't do your... Like, if I need that KYC and someone's blocked me, that's it. I'm done. There's no other way, because I've been gearing up for a move. There is that pushy luck element, because it's like I'm leaving that turn to turn four and then someone goes in and gets it and I'm like, oh, that's just frustrated the hell out of me, because there's no... I've put all my... moves into that and I can't now do it, and now I've got to pass.
That's fair enough.
I do think it's very, it can be blocky and it can be unforgiving, and it, for me, it just, I just don't enjoy it as much as I think everyone else does. That's...
We're going to make sure Tim doesn't edit this episode, because he's going to edit it in favour of anti-Gaia, but the rest of the BGW team does not condone his opinion here.
I will say, like, I think so far, it's I don't dislike the game. It's okay.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'm just going to make you play it like 20 more times.
And probably, then... and I'll probably
end it. Have you played Terra Mystica or Age of Innovation?
No. I've heard the...
Oh, yeah. I really want to play Age of Innovation.
Yeah, that's not long come out.
No, it's just come out. Oh, man, I regret buying that, because it went for a really good price and then the price just... shut up on it. So.
I did hear someone say about Age of Innovation that they thought Gaia Project and Terra Mystica was better.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, don't just get swayed on this one person's opinion, but yeah, that's just what I heard. I really like Gaia, and I've only played it a handful of times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying... Did I play the same one that Tim said?
No.
Yeah,
See, another thing is, because Tim, if there's a Wookiee-based race, Tim wants to play them, but they're not the easiest race to play.
And they're very specific.
They're very specific.
The one that I played with was very QIC specific.
Yeah.
And I didn't find that hard. The one that I...
you played Xenos.
Xenos, that's it.
I'm such a nerd with Gaia Project.
The one that I struggled to implement was, you know, when... the system that goes round and you charge them up. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, the power cycle.
I struggled with that element of it.
Well, that's what the space bookers are really good at.
So I do
want to... We just need to swap.
Yeah.
Something I will hopefully produce in time, but it's going to take so much effort, is I want to produce a comprehensive Gaia guide where I've started writing it already, but it's so much work, where I'm going to try and write a full page article showing... what circumstances you would pick each faction.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it takes a lot of players before you can start to read that. And that's why people play it once or twice and think, this game's really hard, I don't get it. But then if you had a guide like that and it said, like, if you see this end game scoring tile come out, this round scoring tile, if you pick this, you'll have a really good game. It makes a big difference.
Yeah, definitely. I can see that.
That's why, like, Matt had a good first game, because when I taught him it, one thing I did, and it's a tip for anyone that's teaching a heavy game like Gaia, is I completely chose all of the round scoring tiles, and I chose the planet positions. I chose everything to be set up for his faction. Mm. So he noticed throughout the game, just everything was very simple and easy to do. So he wasn't worrying about how to do it. He was just worrying about the rules. Again, the game would normally be that easy for him, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see the base of where combos can come from, really.
Yeah. But I think, like, I played it with my brother-in-law, Fred, and it's his favourite game. And when he was over in the UK for, like, 2 weeks, he literally wanted to play it with me every single day. So we did play Gaia every day for about 2 weeks in a row. Which... Oh, man. You know what? It's just humbling, because I've played that game so much And he's played it a lot, but I'd like to think I'm pretty good at Gaia. And then he just like wanted to try a faction for the first time and scored over 200 with them.
Wow.
I'm like, dude. that's
it's quite interesting because like, Fred's not a thematic gamer.
No, either. But he is. He likes chess and it's very chess based, isn't it?
Yeah. I do. One thing that I was going to say is that I don't think of Gaia because I always play that one faction and I know I'm not going to win because it's not always going to lend itself to winning.
Yeah.
I just view it as, let's just see what score I can get in this scenario. Yeah, and I think that's quite exciting a little bit.
The thing is, you're playing it as the thematic game because you want to be that race.
Yeah.
But the game isn't a thematic game.
Yeah.
The game is, it's got like a theme painted on it, but it's very structural.
Yeah, quite dry.
Yeah. But fair enough.
Yeah.
We've slagged off Gaia enough and I've tried to defend it. But alas, no. I'll move on because I'm about to get a lot of hate in return for this.
Good.
Hopefully not, but I can imagine it's going to come from probably someone commenting on the video. Haters will say it's Jake. But the con I've picked is Marvel United.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
And the reason is I've thought about this a lot and I've played it a few times and I've even done it where I've been like, I've chatted with Luke and we were like, you know what, let's set it up, let's play a two-player game, like let's really like play it in depth and play it with full seriousness. And we realized the game actually isn't that good. And what I mean by that is if it wasn't for the IP, no one would talk about that game.
I can't wait.
And what I mean by it is if you stripped away the fact that it's Marvel or the X-Men version, if you strip that away and you just look at how the mechanics play, there's not much of a game. There is a game to a degree. You're moving pieces, but it's like it's playing on this mechanic and this originality of like you play a card and then I can play onto that card and then it combos, which sounds cool. But when you test it for a couple games in a row, you realize it doesn't really do much.
Mm.
It does it, but it's almost like there's not enough game there.
Yeah.
And the thing that makes it a game that was produced and sold and made is because it's Marvel.
Mm.
And I'm like, if this wasn't Marvel, if this wasn't X-Men, you would go, this game doesn't even look finished. It's like there's not enough game there. But it's only because I played it a couple of times and I started to get that feeling and I wanted to like it because I liked the concept that it was promoting.
Yeah,
I'm not much of a Marvel fan, so that's going to put me off. But like with Dune, I don't know the IP, but it's a great game. So yeah, that's why I had to put Marvel
United.
It's not
a cutesy one.
Cartoon Marvel, yeah.
There's a few of them. So there's Marvel United, which is more like the kid-friendly one, I think.
Yeah.
And then there's Marvel Remix, which is a play on Star Realms.
Oh, right, okay.
And then there's Marvel Champions, which is more the strategic solo
card game.
I think I played it at Luke's.
Yeah.
Did he buy it at UKGA?
Yeah.
And then we played it.
We played Marvel United. And
I didn't like it. It was not my type of game.
Yeah. It was funny, you know, because I remember Luke telling me, he'll probably talk about it when we get him on the podcast, but I remember like at first he played it and the reason I thought was interesting is like he'd played it at someone else's house or whatever and I just got loads of voice notes from him like talking about how much this game is so cool. Like if I ever designed a game, I need to design it with this system. This is so good. So I was like, wow, you know, he's kind of strict standards for games and he's quite, you know, he's played a lot. And then after we played it a few times, he started to take his view back and was realizing, oh, this game is not as good as I thought it was, you know? And I started to look at it as well, thinking, I think he's got a point there. And I think that was a little bit of a disappointing thing. And I feel that's why I had to put it on a con. Because I was thinking, if it wasn't Marvel, you wouldn't hear about it.
They do hide behind gimmicky things, I think.
So now if I see like Marvel on a board game box,
it puts you off.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's a red flag, but it's definitely an amber.
Mm. You know what? It's funny because I've recently watched the Dice Tower top 100 or top 50 of all time. And someone done a collation of all their games and what would be the highest.
Yeah.
and Marvel United was number one.
I saw that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No way.
And they love it. I wish I could remember the reason. I haven't played Marvel United, and it kind of intrigued me. I was thinking, man, they're raving about this. And then I was reading some comments on what people were saying about that. And it was like, I can't believe people have put this as like their number one. Like, you got the usual suspects, like, well, Arknover, I think, was one of them. But like Dune, and there was, I think, Terraforming Mars and all the top 50 that you normally see. But yeah, Marvel United was, I think, number one. And I think it was in the top 10 for all three of them.
Yeah, I think I remember that. I thought it was an average game. I didn't really get behind it that much.
I feel like it's just a shame, you know, and we've talked about some of the pros that should have a bit more feature. And then there's ones that get all that limelight, you know, they get a higher view count and traffic audience. Mm. And I think, wow, you know, sometimes it's surprising, you know, the games that get the attention that probably don't deserve it so much.
Definitely. Reminded me a little bit that sort of like defending. Have you played the Uprising game, like Thanos Uprising or
No, I haven't.
Darkseid Rising? They're kind of similar. You're trying to like build this team that kind of goes out and use cards or what, I can't remember exactly, and you roll dice and that. And I feel the same with those. I feel like they hide behind the IP and it gets this sort of praise. And they're okay. They're just average okay games. Mm. I don't get it, you know, it doesn't get me out of bed in the morning thinking, I can't wait to play Thanos Uprising or whatnot. But and I think that's a game that, do you know what? As soon as we played that and I left, I don't actually think I've ever thought about that game until I saw that video from Dice Tower.
Yeah.
Just didn't resonate.
Yeah. You know what? You are right, though. They do prey on these IPs quite a lot. I think I seen Marvel Splendor the other day and I thought that's what he was on about when I seen the Thanos picture. But yeah.
Though to be fair, I did see Pokemon Splendor and I do want it. It does look cool.
It does look good.
I will say the only Marvel I like is playing Winter Soldier in a match.
A throwback to our earlier episode there. Especially if he's teamed up with Little Red Riding Hood. That was an epic game, man. That game is going to go down forever.
So that's the only time I think Marvel's worked well.
Yeah,
for me personally.
That is a good point, though. And I think, though, look at why. Because Unmatched does what it says on the box. It's not trying to be a great game or a heavy Euro. It's not trying to advertise that. It is what it's advertising.
Combat fun game.
Yeah, and it is expecting it, saying, look, it's a game that you can do in 15 minutes, and that's what it is. We're not advertising anything more. Yeah. But like, I just feel like Marvel United got quite a lot of hype and tried to like encourage, you can buy more boxes and you can do this and all that. And we've got all these miniatures and look how cool it's going to be. I'm thinking, okay, let's expect some game here. Especially when they're saying you can combo them all up and like get some cool stuff happening. And then you try the combos and it's like, it doesn't really do much. And I'm like, so why would I buy more? Because I've got like 10 already and they're not really doing a great deal if we combine
them. Because there's an X-Men one as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've played that one as well.
Oh, you played
yeah. So this is the thing. I've just a bit, I suppose I've just felt a little bit disappointed, but what to expect? It's Marvel on a box.
Does Luke still have it?
I don't know.
I do want to have a go.
I don't know. He's probably looking to sell it.
I might be that person. No, I don't know. I've never played it, but I've been willing to give it a go.
Yeah.
For me as well, I think what doesn't resonate, I don't like the artwork myself. Mm. I'm not into that very cutesy sort
of. Like chibi.
Yeah, I don't know, just doesn't resonate whatsoever with me, that sort of style. And I think that's why I think some of those games, I guess there might be others in our audience that feel the same, but just didn't feel right.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
I'm sure we're going to get loads saying, like, what are you on about?
Yeah.
So, death threats through the door.
So there's us at BGW. There's us talking just briefly about a pro and a con, a game that we feel deserves more attention than it gets, a game that we feel gets more attention than it deserves. But we'd like to put it out to you, the audience, in the comments. Or if you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts, go onto our YouTube channel and please just put in a comment on this video on what you think would be your pro and con. And especially what we want to leave you with to think about for our upcoming episode is in the future episodes, we're going to be talking about games that we're looking forward to that are upcoming in 2024. So on top of what you're putting as your pro and con, we would love to hear from you on what you think would be games you're looking forward to in 2024. And then we might even be able to feature one or two of those comments in our upcoming podcast episode. So thank you from the Board Gamer team. And we hope you have a great day. And go ahead and listen to some more of our podcasts. Subscribe here on the YouTube channel because it really helps us out. And of course, for any updates, you will hear from Barley on our Instagram at Board Gamer World. And for game of the week, there's a game that was hyped up a lot in the past. I'm a big fan of it. But yes, I would hype this up, even though it is not a cheap game. The game of the week for me personally is going to be Nemesis, the classic, because it's an awesome game. I've spoken to quite a few people who have tried it and some haven't liked it and some do like it. But the thing that I really like about that game is its thematic. So it's just the case of I feel like you're playing an interactive story. If you're playing the game looking to win the game, then you're going to be disappointed. But if you're playing a game for a fun experience, like a fun game night, I recently made a few non-gamers play Nemesis, and I kind of just walked them through the rules side of it. And still to this day, a few of them have said their favorite game they've ever played is Nemesis because of the theme.
Yeah.
And I've played another game with heavy gamers, and we just played it with a lighthearted touch. And at the end of the game, like, we had these stupid moments, like that the guy in the wheelchair, he'd been injured and his arms were injured. It's just like, and he failed, but it was just funny. And then we finally, we did all our missions. We got into the escape pods. We split up two to two to different escape pods. And at the end, we had to scan our cards. And like the one guy was infected, became an alien and killed the guy. And then in the other escape pod, the one guy was infected and killed the other guy. So it was like, we've done all our missions. We survived the aliens. And then we all died. And it was just like, that was fine. It was funny. It was like the finish to a story. And we just, I just loved that element of it. It wasn't about winning the game. It was about why we play games in the beginning. Yeah. It's just to have fun.
Definitely.
So to that end, I would recommend people to give Nemesis a try. And if you hear mixed reviews, try not to let it necessarily cloud your view. Expect it to be a thematic story. Don't go in it expecting a Euro. You probably will die, and that's okay. So that's my game of the week.